Chapter 38. Homecomings can be coloured by many emotions. Abbot Glisson tried to touch on them all as he addressed every beast. It was after sunset. Great Hall was lit by candles and lanterns. Garlands of summer blossoms draped the columns in honour of the returning visitors. Sir Anne sat alongside Skipper Rorgus, who had been fascinated by the Black Otter from the moment he set eyes upon her. Dwink and Perrett sat side by side, constantly together since their adventures in the woodlands. Next to them, Bisky and Spingo shared the same platter. The feast was splendid. Red Wallers were wondering who had produced many of the new dishes. It was Bosie who found out.
Och, would you credit it? Young Double seems to have taken charge. I'm thinking he should be led to the kitchens.
Seeing as the job hasn't been offered to me.
Brother Cyrillus cocked a severe eye at the gluttonous hare.
That would be like leaving baby minnows to be nursed by a hungry pike.
Glisson left them happily feasting until he judged the right moment for his speech. Signalling Humphrey Spickle to ring the table bell, the Father Abbot rose.
Red Wallers, Gowsim, Gonfellins, friends, first allow me to thank you from my heart for making our abbey and mossflower country safe from evil. Doomwights, predators, and the dreadful Barlis, who created fear and terror for long seasons. However, each triumph has its cost. Words cannot describe our sadness at the death of four loyal and faithful moles, Rooter, Gravel, Rutter, and our beloved Friar Skirpel. Alas, their bodies were never recovered, but they will live in Redwall memory as long as any beast can record or recall their bravery in saving the life of a Gonfalon maid. Such is the way we honour friends at this abbey.
There was a prolonged silence, punctuated by lots of sobs, particularly from Formal Gullob and the remainder of his crew. Abbot Glisson sighed and took a deep breath before continuing.
Now, on to more cheerful things. Our thanks is due to Aluko for finding the first Doomwhite eye. Then to Dwink and Perrett, whose endeavours helped greatly in the recovery of the other two eyes.
Removing the cover from a bowl, the abbot turned the three stones out onto the table. A gasp of admiration arose from the onlookers, as two round emeralds and a single blood-hued ruby were revealed. They lay on the table, reflecting the candle and lantern lights, sparkling with their own strange fires. The abbot shook his head ruefully.
Alas, that is where the trail ends. There are no clues as to the location of the final Doomwhite eye. The missing ruby may never be found.
Bisky was smiling as Spingo stood up, calling out aloud.
Oh, yes, there is. I know who's got the redstone. Aye, so does Bisky. And so does another beast I could mention. A Gonfalon, sitting here at your table, Father.
She turned her accusing glare from the abbot to Nocco.
I don't mean that, Father, but this, Father. You, Dar.
Nocco squirmed under his daughter's stern eyes.
But that's ours, me darling. Booty, Paul Pickens, loot. It belongs to our tribe.
Spingo's paw was pointed like a spear at her hapless parent.
Our tribe are Red Wallers now, Da. There'll be no more looting, swiping and thieving. We're good, honest creatures now. So come on, cough it up.
Nocco hesitated a moment, then Bisky whispered.
Do the right thing, sir. Make your daughter happy.
A mighty cheer went up as Nocco produced the ruby and placed it with the others. He smiled sheepishly.
Ah, well, as long as it makes me darling Spingo happy. Add that into your collection, Abbo.
Abbot Glisson picked up all four of the great Doomwhite's eyes. He held them aloft.
What has come from evil will return to evil in memory of four good beasts who lie there. Formal, take your crew and bury these on what is left of that hillside, in honour of our fallen friends.
Every beast raised their drinks.
In honour of our fallen friends.
Bosey MacScutter, the Laird of Bolaney, had the final word.
And now, back to the feast, my broad beasties. Bolaney!